faith and peace be unto you from our God and Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning we want to talk about the blasphemy of Christ. The text we just heard read. I think to properly understand this text, we need to remember the wider context around it. We need to remember that this is toward the end of Jesus' ministry. That he has spent 3 years walking among the Jews and the people. But during those 3 years, he has tried very hard to convince the Jewish people that he is the Christ, the promised one, the Messiah. He did this in very many ways, not the least of them, the many miracles which he performed. And immediately prior to our text, he had healed a blind man. And then he made the comment to the Jews that it wasn't so bad to be physically blind, but to be spiritually blind was horrible. They were just hoping that they would see the errors of their thought and come to believe in him as the Savior. And then immediately before our text, he has a discourse on the sheep and the true shepherd, calling himself the true shepherd and the way into the sheepfold. And yet the Jews didn't believe in who he was. And after all of this very frustrating and fruitless explanation of Christ's character, he's walking through the temple with the Jews next to him, and they have the audacity to look him in the face and say, "Don't keep us in suspense. Tell us plainly if you are the Christ." It must have been a really frustrating day for our Lord and Savior. It might have been something like the professor here at the seminary who handed back an exam and then spent a half hour ranting and raving about the ignorance that he saw on that exam and the stupidity of the men who had taken it. And how could they be so dumb? And how would they have made it to the seminary to begin with and still take an exam and do this course? And then at the end of his half hour of ranting and raving, a man in the back row raises his hand and says, "Sir, don't keep us in suspense. Tell us what you thought of the text." There must have been something that Jesus thought when these Jews said to him, "Tell us plainly if you are the Christ." And how did he reply to them? Well, he said, "I did tell you, but you didn't believe. The works that I do from my Father, they tell of me and tell who I am, but you didn't believe them either." And so he said, the reason that you don't believe is because you're not a part of the flock. And so finally he just stands there and has to say straight out, "I and the Father are one." Now he can't get any plainer than that. They wanted him to say plainly who he was. And he said flat out, "I and the Father are one." How clear can he be? What is the result? Well, they picked up stones to stone him. And so he replied to them, he said, "For which of the miracles from the Father am I to be stoned?" He said this from the Father so that they would remember that miracles come from God, not from a man. And that they might see that he was God. He gave them one more chance to believe who he was. But they said, "It's not for your works that you're going to be stoned, but rather it's for what you said, that you, a mere man, would claim to be God." All right. That statement would be true if said to any other person. A mere man can't claim to be God without blaspheming. And yet Christ could. So here are the horns of the problem. On the one hand, the Jews, unable to believe that Christ was true God and true man, accuse him of blasphemy. And Christ, on the other hand, asserts his divinity and says that if anything, he is at least equal to the title God and man. We have, on the one side, either Christ is not one with God and therefore guilty of blasphemy, as the Jews said, or he is one with God and therefore not guilty of blasphemy. Now, to help with this difficult problem, we investigate that term, blasphemy. We find that basically it refers to anything that would put God into a less than godly position. Anything that shows disrespect or lowers God from the heavenly glory that is his due is considered blasphemy. And further we read, blasphemy is one of the most serious of all spiritual iniquities in the Old Testament, because it denies and makes sport of the overwhelming concept of all the Old Testament history and life, namely the sovereignty of the Creator. More than any other act of man, blasphemy eradicates the fundamental creature and creator distinction upon which all of the cosmic law is based. You see, if we blaspheme and bring God down to man's level, we've confused the creator and creature distinction that all the world and creation is based on. And so blasphemy becomes a horrible sin. And yet the reason that the Jews accused Christ of it, of blasphemy, is very plain. Christ had claimed to be one with God. No man can make that claim without degrading God. And since the Jews didn't believe that Jesus was God incarnate, they thought that Jesus, as a mere man claiming to be God, was degrading God and therefore blaspheming. Now it's interesting that the reason that Christ says they don't believe that he is God and man is because they are not a part of the flock. And then he goes on to say that those who are a part of the flock can see that he is God and man. Notice he doesn't say that because they don't believe, they're not a part of the flock. He says just the opposite. Because you're not a part of the flock, therefore you don't believe. To be a part of the flock is a gift from God. And the fact that this flock was Jesus' own little group is a gift from God. And it's this gift that brought the belief in Christ's work. It's not the belief in Christ's work that brings them into the flock, but being in the flock brings them to believe in Christ and his divine nature. We often fall into the trap of those Jews. The Jews were trying to prove Jesus' claim. They wanted him to prove that he was who he said he was, and then they said they would believe. They do much the same thing, either with physical evidence, trying to come to believe in Christ as God by the proof we can find, or trying to bring someone else to believe that Christ is God by the proof we beat them over the head with, even if it happens to be biblical evidence. But the truth is that it's by the grace of God that we are a member of this flock, a gift of God that we are a member of the flock, and because we are, then we can say the biblical witness testifies that Christ is God and man. It's not the other way around. Our believing in Christ does not bring us into the flock, but God's grace brings us into the flock and then further brings us to believe that Christ is who he came to be. Now, since we know by grace that Christ was one with the Father, we don't believe that Christ was blaspheming in the text. Rather, he was just telling the truth when he said, "I and the Father are one." To make that statement that Christ was not blaspheming is to say a lot, because that means that God truly did bring himself down to man's level. That this great chasm between the creator and the creature was bridged by Jesus Christ, but he was at the same time God and man. And this is a very hard thing to understand. It's a divine mystery, and it's been debated for a long time, even since the Jews. Arius and Athanasius went round and round. Luther and Calvin, and even to the present day, this mystery of Christ's divine nature is just that, a mystery. But by grace, we can believe that Jesus was who he said he was, one with the Father. And now this covers the two main positions that I delineated to begin with. The Jews' contention on the one hand, and Christ on the other. But one said that Christ was blaspheming, the other said no, he was true God and therefore was not blaspheming. But couldn't we say in a sense that Christ was God and man, and yet in a sense was blaspheming? If you think about that for a minute, we said earlier that the blaspheme was to confuse this creature and creator relationship. It was to bring God out of his heavenly throne and down to a manly level. Well, what was it when Christ was born a man? Didn't that lower God? Wouldn't that be bringing him down to man's level? And if that wasn't enough, how about dying on the tree? If the man were to suggest to God that he die on the cross, that he die the death of a man, wouldn't that be blasphemy? And in that sense, isn't Christ claim to be God and man a blasphemy? Because it brings God down to man's level. And yet, isn't that our glory? That Christ blasphemed on our behalf? Isn't it glorious that Christ was blasphemous? That he brought God to man's level is our glory. As one professor here has said, that's the scandal of the cross. The unbelievable aspect that God could become man and die on the cross. Truly a blasphemy, and yet truly our glory. Because Christ became a man, and in a sense blasphemed his image as God, because he, as the scripture says, thought equality with God not a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. Because of that, we have salvation today. What about today? In Christ's time, to claim to be God was the ultimate blasphemy. Would it be the ultimate blasphemy today? Would it still be that claim to be God, or the claim to replace God, as in the Communist Party? Perhaps it would be those who claim to speak for God, like Joseph Smith of Mormon fame, or Jim Jones. Is this the ultimate blasphemy? Or the apology in Article 5 says that it's neither of these. Rather, if anyone therefore is not sure that he is forgiven, he denies that God has sworn to the truth. And that is a more horrible blasphemy, and a more horrible blasphemy than this cannot be imagined. So we hear that it's not to be one with God that's the ultimate blasphemy, but to deny the forgiveness that God has promised to us becomes the ultimate blasphemy. Isn't that all around us today in the world? The people who are not part of the flock, who don't believe the incarnation of Christ, they deny the forgiveness that was theirs. And this becomes the ultimate blasphemy. The Jews in their time took it upon themselves to stamp out blasphemy. Can we do any less? As we leave this institution, is that not one of our responsibilities to point out to people the blasphemy of denying the forgiveness that Christ offers? To point out to them the blasphemy of Christ, the scandal of the cross. And as we leave, we need to remember that those who don't believe see the incarnation as a blasphemy. But to those who are part of the flock, who do believe, the blasphemy of the incarnation is our glory. In Jesus' name, amen.